from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
I am your host. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Alon.
And my name's Ara.
That's Ara. And this is Chatterbox. So, first of all, everybody, if you're near your computers, if you're listening to the podcast, go back to the website, chatterboxgameshow.com. Maybe you use iTunes. Maybe you use Podcast Alley. What do I know? Chatterboxgameshow.com is where we're at, and you can see the website and participate in the forums and get linked over to All Games Radio, who also plays our show a couple times during the week. So we appreciate you listening, and let's start the show here. I got to talk about some stuff. There's so many things in my head when I start a show every day, every week, and today I want to talk about what happened to me this weekend.
Wow, you sound so excited, Alon. What's going on?
Oh, I'm excited. See, Ara's... It's like, well, Alon was pretty sedate before the show started, and then the show started.
Now you're just like exploding with energy.
I hide it. I hide what I'm going to talk about from Ara so that it's ready to go. It's in my brain, and we're excited during the show because that's how much I care about the content. So here it is. This weekend, actually last week to start the story, my roommate the last weekend, meaning like 8 days ago, he wants us to have a gaming party at the house. I think I talked about it. And so we had a LAN party. We had two projectors, two Xbox 360s, and some people over. We were playing Gears of War, which I've talked about. We'll question the validity of Gears of War online some other day. We've already done it enough here. Which, by the way, I got some emails. Some other people think it's crap online, too. So that's good. Anyway, so he couldn't bear the idea of not having two Xbox 360s and projectors in the house at all times. So he decides to buy one. And he calls me up. He's like, what game would you want if we're going to have, you know, two Xboxes in the house? And I said, first of all, please don't buy another Xbox. That's just irresponsible. But if you're going to, Splinter Cell. I want to play some Splinter Cell because, as I've mentioned here on the show before, I think, Splinter Cell co-op mode for the Xbox, I think it was the third one. It was the first one with co-op anyway, was one of the finest video game experiences that I've had in my life, the most immersive. Now, unfortunately, it's made by Ubisoft, and Ubisoft doesn't like to make games and put them in front of quality assurance people, so the games never seem to run properly. That's unfortunate because they make such good games, but since they don't go through QA, they're impossible to actually play. So that's kind of a hurdle to enjoying a game. If you can't actually play it because it's made like such a piece of crap, even if it's a good game underneath the crap, you can't get to it. So it's like they've got this fence of crap.
What could be so bad about Splinter Cell?
Well, like I said, the game is good. So here's what we try to do. He gets me the game. He already had a copy of the game.
Is this that New Vegas thing or what?
No, that's Rainbow Six. This is Splinter Cell Double Agent.
All right, I always mix those two.
All right, so Splinter Cell Double Agent on the 360. He already had a copy, which he doesn't really play because it's not his kind of game, but I'm like, listen, it's a good game. Trust me.
That's the one that draws like the silhouettes around the characters and stuff real nice, right?
No.
No?
Moving on. So he gets a copy for the new Xbox 360, which he gives me for my birthday because it's coming up in a few weeks. So now I have one and he's got one. We got the projectors going. It's great. We got two copies of the game. Everything you'd need. We both have Xbox Live accounts, but who needs them? Because it's System Link. So here we go. I got my system. I turn it on. Okay, it works. The game works. Now I've made the assumption that it's got a co-op mode because I didn't really hear anything about it. But I've made that assumption. I figure it's a safe one. I go in the game. I say multiplayer. That's the first user interface selection that I've chosen, multiplayer, right, as opposed to, of course, single player. And I would expect afterwards to be given the option to go System Link or Xbox Live.
If they've indeed provided that option for you.
Oh, they do. There's the option for Xbox Live or System Link. So I choose System Link. I'm feeling safe here. Now, I had connected mine with a wireless adapter. With the Xbox 360, we got a wireless adapter because otherwise we'd be running wire all over the house. So his is connected with the wire. Mine is connected wirelessly. I choose System Link for my multiplayer gaming. We're on the same router. I'm sure of it because, you know, I had to select the SSID when I connected wirelessly. So I know it's my router that I'm connected to wirelessly. And I choose System Link. Now, here's where Ubisoft comes in, and I don't know if you've noticed, their games, not only are they so crap full of bugs, their user interface is also so poor that even when you know what you're talking about, and I would make the claim that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to video games, I can't maneuver or navigate a menu system to actually be sure of what I'm doing. Like, you do it a couple times, and then you're like, okay, I can understand it.
But well, I'd say that's, the MO for most video games in general. But
well, see,
go ahead.
Not always. But anyway, this one, Ubisoft has a grand job of confusing the hell out of me. And I've been playing games a few years. I've been around this block a couple times. So I choose multiplayer. I choose System Link. So far, smooth sailing. The game hasn't failed to run yet, so I'm excited. And then a nice lady comes on. There's six icons on the screen, and this, every time you put your... You know, you select one of the icons, a lady comes on and says, oh, this is the home screen where you do all these sort of things, and this is where you would create or join a versus game. This is where you would create or join a co-op game. Well, great. Thank you for the assistance. I will choose co-op. So I choose co-op. Now you would think, since I've been told that I get to create or join a game, that my next options would be, tell me if I'm off base on this one, maybe create or join. Huh? That's what I would expect.
Makes sense.
I don't know about you.
That's what I would
expect.
That's
where I'm going in the timeline. Next. No, nothing. What settings do you want? Do you want to play this kind of game? Which level do you want to play? I don't know if I'm creating or if I'm joining a game, but...
Well, maybe it's just assuming that you're creating one if one doesn't exist.
Maybe. So, sure. I'll pick level 3 because it says something about playing with other people, which is funny, by the way. Level 1 and 2, you're solo. But I selected multiplayer System Link. But it's a solo mission. I don't understand it. I don't know. Anyway, so I select level 3 because it talks about multiple players in the description. So I choose level 3. And it goes ahead. It says, searching for games. None found. And then I'm sitting there in what looks like a lobby screen, although it doesn't actually say that. And there's a couple cubes with like three little circles on them, like, you know, his infrared or his whatever goggles that he puts on his head. They look like little triangle of circles.
Yeah.
So I suspect that maybe they represent a person. And since my name's next to one of them, I'm one of those people in the lobby. Now, roommate, he goes on. He does the same thing. But again, he doesn't have the choice to join a game. And using my little friends list, I don't have the ability to invite him to a game because it's just not in the list. So we know that that's not the case. So he does the same thing I do. He picks the same level. He all the same choices, right? Or he even tried it with the whole, like, do you want to be the good guys or the bad guys? And he tried, selected, I don't care.
Let me guess. This didn't really quite work out the way you were hoping.
Wow. Well done. Good deduction. So he makes all the same selections. It does the quick little searching for games. Now, listen, it's not on Xbox Live. It's not on the internet. It's just a machine connected to a machine. Same intranet. Same house, next room. And the router is... in that same room.
Do you have any way of knowing that there's another machine that you're connected to or anything?
No indication.
No.
The indication I have is when it tells me no games found and it starts him on the same match as me. Now, I think, well, I know a lot better than this, but I suspect why not alleviate his concern because he's paranoid that wireless isn't as good as wired. It's like, fine, I will connect a wire to my machine. Just to see what happens. Let's connect it directly to the router. That way... nothing weird has happened, like Windows machines jump from wireless ID to wireless ID. Let's just connect with a wire.
Right.
I do that, same result. Now I think, let's take the router out of it completely. Even though you can play 3 people cooperative, so therefore you need a router, let's just try it connecting the 2 systems. And as I understand it, an Xbox 360 intelligently routes packets, so you don't need a crossover cable between them. You can just put any old cable. That's what I read anyway. I could be wrong.
That sounds pretty cool.
In which case, this test would be moot. But I connected them directly with cables. Same exact results. So I've tried everything I could possibly do. And it fails. Now, it seems that their system is developed for a large building with lots of machines on an intranet. But I think it should also be successful with just 2 machines on 1 router. And I'm a little bit upset because now, essentially, 2 copies of the game, you know, we want to play together. Great. Microsoft has managed to sell 2 machines to us. They've managed to encourage us to buy 2 copies of a game in a single household, have 2 Xbox Live accounts, even though we're not using them in this case. Failed.
So you didn't even get it to work at all?
No, we didn't play. He went to bed.
That's this kind of reminds me of how Sony handled their System Link stuff on the PS2. There were it's funny because they never really officially supported it for any games. But there were a few games that had it, and they were kind of like undocumented features. Although in this case, they actually worked.
Yeah.
So
even when they weren't documented, they worked. Yeah. I had to tell that story. I'm curious. We get emails from time to time, especially when we solicit for them. So please. And don't think that I'm going to get this barrage of emails with everyone, you know, sending me info. If you've been in this situation, please do email me. Because as much as we get the emails, a lot of people don't bother sending them. So If you've played Splinter Cell Double Agent on the Xbox 360, system linked, I don't care how you accomplished it, tell me how someone somewhere in some scenario. And then I want you to describe the scenario. Maybe you'll take the time to do that for me. I'd really
appreciate
it. Is there
documentation in the manual, or is it one of those four-page manuals?
Oh, I would like to show you that manual. Oh, I would like to show you. It's co-op. It says, oh, basically, you can play co-op.
That's nice.
That's it.
You know what's really interesting? If you ever buy a Japanese game, I mean, like a real Japanese game, like not just like it was developed in Japan.
I've seen them.
They take, dare I say it, some sort of pride in their manual.
I thought that was the word you'd use.
You know?
Pride in a game that they produce?
Well, not only in the game, but the manual. The manual's like, they're usually like pretty thick, especially like the big games. They tell you all this stuff that even, you know, you wouldn't
care. That's because everyone wants to know the blood type and stuff.
But here we're just like, black and white four-page manual.
Yeah. All right. Well, I didn't go over the table of contents for tonight's show. We're going to be talking about quite a few things. Ara has some stuff he wants to talk about as well. I think we're going to run out of time again, as always. But do give us a call at 866-536-1100 if you want to chime in. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I'm Alon.
And we have engineer Andrew back there. What are you? Are you eating pizza, Andrew?
The cheesy bread.
The cheesy bread?
Like a vacation.
Did you pay for this cheesy bread?
Yeah, I paid for it.
Yeah?
All right. Andrew's always...
It's the buy one, get one free radio industry night.
Are you sure it's not the buy one and get the... Or don't buy one and get one free? No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Moving on, let's talk about the games. That's what we do here on Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Ara wants to talk a little bit about Capcom.
Yes, sir. So, as you may or may not know, there's an award show that's put on by the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences.
The AIAS,
that's right,
as it were.
And this is kind of like the video game analog of the Academy Awards, like for movies.
I want to say I've heard of it, but the only reason I've heard about it is because I sort of read about this story on Joystick Today.
And now there's a little controversy going on with this awards show because it's kind of like general knowledge that if you want to win an award from the IAS, you have to be a member of their club. And
what exactly does it mean to be a member, though?
Well, basically you pay them money.
What?
And then you're a member.
Okay.
You say I want to be a member, and they say, okay, where's your money? And then here's my money, here's my tens of thousands of dollars. Okay, now you're a member. So anyway, they have this awards show, and Capcom is actually not a member of the AIAS. And you know, last year there was some controversy that came up because of Resident Evil 4, and this year it's coming up again. Because, you know, Capcom's games are very, very popular. People want to, you know, vote them for awards, but AIAS does not give them awards. Now, what happened last year was that, you know, they had, even though Resident Evil 4 wasn't an official candidate, it was a write-in candidate. And Capcom released a statement a couple of days ago about this and what happened last year, and they said, you know, for last year's awards, so many voting members of the AIS were upset that Resident Evil 4 is completely left off the list for awards considerations that the members themselves wrote in the game. Now, upon seeing the results of the write-in votes, Capcom Entertainment was contacted by the AIS and was told that the game would still not be eligible for any awards unless the company joined the organization. Now, there's a story on GameSpot about this very subject, and they have some quotes from the president of the AIS, this guy named Joseph Olin. And what Joseph said was, to be presented an award and be formally submitted, you have to be a member of the Academy of Arts and Sciences as a publisher. We ask people to become members long before the voting process begins, especially with a publisher like Capcom, who pretty consistently every year has one or two titles that demonstrate great game craft. Now, the AIS explains that their requirement to have companies become members is because, quote, membership is necessary to keep the nonprofit company a purely independent organization. The publishing communities and developing communities need to come together and jointly fund the organization because ultimately they reap the benefits. Now, I don't know about you, Alon, but doesn't this sound a little gangster-like with this activity? I mean, they're basically saying that, okay, well, you know, we have our award show, and for it to be really independent, all you publishers out there have to fund it. But then if you don't help fund it, you're not going to get an award.
Well, honestly, I'm on the other side of the token. I'm thinking, like, let's imagine the Rotary Club with a bunch of old stinky men in a building, right? They're going to give an award for the best father a year or something stupid like that. You're not going to get an award unless you're in the club, right? Paying your dues.
Right, but here's the thing. Now, I don't have a good quote to address that, but, you know, basically, you know, the AIS has, you know, all of these. You can go on their website and they say, like, okay, well, you know, we want to promote gaming in, you know, such and such a way, and we want to recognize excellence and all this stuff. And, you know, certainly Capcom games are deserving of that. But they're basically saying, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, even though Capcom, your games do, you know, fulfill all of these values that the AIS wants to espouse, you will not get the award because you're not part of our club and you're not paying us.
And yeah, I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about it because on the one hand, maybe it's not a club, technically.
Right, well, you know what I mean. But membership. I mean, you're paying for membership. I mean, what do you want to call
it? My point
is, it's not a club.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it closely resembles one.
Right.
And as a private organization, they get to do whatever the hell they want. And so it's a little bit weird because awards that are made public are generally not held to this sort of restriction. So I can understand the strangeness or the curiosity about it.
Right. Well, I'm totally with you on that. But the thing is, they're not saying that, like, okay, well, we're just a private club and, you know, you pay to get the award and you don't. You know, they're saying that, you know, like I said before, we're giving out these awards because these are the values we want to promote, right? Not just, oh, we're just a private club.
Yeah, and that's why it's a little bit weird. Like, it would make more sense, let's say, if the first prize winners or some prize winners were to win some sort of money or physical reward, but what you win in this case is good press.
Right.
And so they're going to get that no matter what if they do provide the award, so the only way they can get them to pony up.
Yeah, and here's the thing that weirds me out is that, you know, in Capcom's statement, you know, they also said, does our company really need to pay tens of thousands of dollars in order to present awards to our own games? So this is really kind of mystifying to me because this implies that in order to gain membership, you have to pay tens of thousands of dollars. You know, so the question I have is this, you know, I mean, how much is this membership? You know, how many tens of thousands of dollars are we talking about here? And what is the AIS spending their money on? I mean, they're a nonprofit entity, right?
Well, but, yeah, that is curious if they're getting hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
Well, you know, tens of thousands per company, but, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how many members there are, but, you know.
Enough to make up an award show.
Right. I mean, like, you know, how much is the president's salary? You know, how come they don't disclose this stuff? You know?
I think they would probably be forced to as a nonprofit. I don't know the rules, really.
Yeah, I'd be really curious to know this information, you know what I mean?
Yeah. If we were real journalists, we might be
able
to find that
we
out.
We would find out stuff. We'd do some investigative, but we're not real journalists, so
we editorialize.
We don't engage in such behavior.
No, I do sometimes.
Well, you know, every once in a while.
But in this case, I'm on the fence. I don't care enough about it. Like, they're private. It's just so weird because the award here is press. It's not something more tangible than that. And so it's probably a good deal or a good value, I should say, in the case of other publishers, because tens of thousands of dollars for good press about your game isn't that big a deal, right? When you're
right,
making...
but in that case, you know, are you, you know, you're kind of like, are you winning an award because your game is really, you know, something to be awarded, or are you in effect purchasing an award?
No, exactly. I'm with you there. I totally understand. I don't want you to think I don't understand where you're coming from. And I'm with Capcom. I just wouldn't pay him. I'd be like, screw you guys. I'm getting good press by you not giving me the awards.
I think that this is cool that they're standing up to them. I mean, not just partially because I enjoy chaos in general, but, you know, not just because of that, also because, I mean, they're standing up for, you know, what they think is bogus, and hey, I like to see that.
Yeah,
know?
No, and I agree with you there. I appreciate Capcom taking the stand. It's I didn't realize that you would have to pay for a membership to get awards, and that's kind of dumb.
Well, here's the interesting thing is that apparently they've always had this rule, but they've only started enforcing this for the past 3 years. So
someone new came into power and decided to actually...
So we're going to be more like gangsters and less like a friendly award show.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Indeed.
And, I mean, maybe they figure they can squeeze it out of Capcom because they're big. I don't know.
Man, is it the end of this segment already?
It is. They go by fast.
I know, especially when you're on a Substance D or something.
But no, it's a weird situation. I'm curious to see what everybody else thinks about this. That's why we have a phone number, 866-536-1100.
Call us.
At the same time, like, I don't know, like, they're getting enough press anyway. Why pay the money?
This is probably giving them more press.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Because
go Capcom.
Goes, oh, AI or AIIS, whatever, award winner. I'm going to buy that game. We got to go, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
Welcome back to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon. Sitting next to me
is the game designer, otherwise known as Ara.
That is Ara.
I was going to say formerly, but no, Ara is still my name.
Yeah, formerly known as the guy who is currently known as...
That's right.
Ara the S-Man. All right, so I forgot to mention earlier in the show that we're sponsored by UAT, the University
That's right.
of Advancing Technology, so check that out. We've had a few people move down to Phoenix. Because they've heard our commercials, they looked into it, and they decided to go to UAT, kind of like I did.
You should get a commission or a bonus or something for that.
Well, I get to do this show, and I appreciate that. So here's what I want to talk about this show. There's a couple things from actually weeks ago that we just haven't covered on the show yet that I wanted to jump into. And actually, it's good because as we've held off, more things hit the news and make it even more relevant. So we've talked about piracy in the past, but I want to talk about it for a little bit. Get your take on it, especially getting a game designer's point of view is interesting to me. So after we talk about a little bit of piracy, this segment, want to talk about next segment, what is being done to sort of be a solution to that problem? Because that's been the big question, and everyone's rebuttal to the whole question is basically like, you're a dumbass, right? There's always going to be piracy, and every time you put in some stupid, you know, thing that stop a copy prevention technique or trick or
right.
whatever, and then you patent it and then you sell it to Sony and they invade your hard drive. Like anytime you do that, someone's going to figure out a way around it anyway. Like they just cracked HD DVD and Blu-ray, I guess, like last week. Anyway, so there are some ways to actually get around it, and people are only discovering them recently with the online era. So I want to talk about that too. So first of all, let's talk about piracy. A lot of people rationalize several types of piracy. Like you could say, well, you can download PS2 games and Xbox games over the internet right now. Most people would claim,
right,
as long as they're thinking, that that's probably not so good. Maybe it's not the right thing to do.
Well, you know, I mean, it is technically speaking illegal.
Yes, definitely illegal in most places. Not everywhere in the world, though.
That's right. I don't think it's illegal in, like, Iran, for example.
Maybe not. I don't think they have the law about it. But then other people say, well, what about NES games, right? You can't go out and buy, even if you want to, you can't go out and buy some of the games on the Nintendo.
Well, you probably could, but it would be very, very difficult for you to find a copy.
Exactly. And if you did, the money wouldn't go to the publisher anyway. It would go to the guy who has the game already. Right.
Right.
There's no way for me to give money to Nintendo to buy a copy of Donkey Kong 3.
Right. Well, that whole thing confuses the issue, but I'm not going to...
I'm just talking about the rationale.
Just because of that. All
right. The rationale for me would be like, well, listen, they don't even provide a method for me to give them money for this product.
Right.
But this product exists in digital form in the world, so why should I feel bad about taking it and playing it? If anything, it makes me feel better about the brand and gets me to enjoy Nintendo.
Right. Well, I think that's why they're not like, you know, nobody's really pursuing, you know, the people who make emulators and stuff like that.
Yeah.
As far as I know,
the fact that an emulator's not illegal anyway. But
right, but I mean, we all know what we use emulators for. I mean, even though the software per se is not illegal,
exactly.
You know, they're not used to, tie your shoelaces.
Well, what's interesting, too, is that, Sony made very easily accessible Linux on the PlayStation 3, which they knew would immediately be used for piracy, for emulating and stuff. And I'm sure pretty soon someone will start playing a PlayStation emulator on it, which is funny. But we'll see. It'll take a while for them to beef it up to make it powerful.
Sony's such a huge company, and I'm sure their right hand doesn't know what their left and middle and fifth hand are doing. So
anyway, so there's some forms of piracy in that sense where, you know, I couldn't care less, dude. I tell all of our listeners, you want to go play some old games? You go for it. Now, Nintendo's making it a little bit annoying because they're starting to release games on their virtual console, which basically gives you a method of playing this old game and then blows this whole theory out of the water. Because now you can legitimately pay for it. And that's kind of a bummer. Interestingly, though, they're doing it through emulation. But these sorts of things, right?
I must say, to interject really briefly, I've been really impressed by the quality of those virtual console games.
Really? I haven't even played a single one.
I played a couple of them, and they don't feel emulator-y. In other words, like, they don't have like those weird like V-Sync issues or those frame rate issues, at least the ones that I've played. They seem like, you know, just exactly like I played like Altered Beast, for example.
Yeah, well,
exactly.
No, and that's the same thing. Like when I play the Midway arcade classics and the Capcom classics and stuff on various consoles, they all seem to play just like old arcade stuff. One issue is that the monitor, an arcade monitor, is different than a television.
Right. Well, yeah. If the resolution of the original exceeds what you're playing it on, then you get these weird artifacts. So it's not quite perfect.
Well, even vice versa. Like you get smoothing of NES games, and it looks weird.
Right. Right.
But anyway, so I stand my ground and say, you want to emulate an old game you can't buy? Sure. Is it illegal for me to advocate illegal things on the radio, Andrew?
He doesn't care.
Andrew doesn't know either. Anyway, listen. Piracy's bad, but if you're not hurting anybody, what the hell do I care? Now, if I were to pirate, for instance, The Red Star, a video game coming out next week.
Well, it's very, very fortuitous that you bring that subject up.
Right? If I should pirate The Red Star, then I would feel bad because I'm taking money out of the pocket of some company that didn't pay Ara for his work.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. The Red Star, if you guys may or may not know, is a game that I worked on a while back. And
it's his first shipped game.
It's my first shipped game, and it's actually like it's supposed to be coming out any day now, and
next
it's going to be like discount price, and it's not a discount game.
Just because it has the XS logo on it from XS Games, who's never produced a quality game in their life, they had nothing to do with
besides
making this
game. One.
Yeah, they had nothing to do with it. They just bought it.
This was going to be, you know, it was originally I was working for Acclaim. This was going to be Acclaim's best game ever. Might I add, Red Star now enjoys an average of 90% on GameRankings.com.
Yeah, it's doing quite well in those.
So everyone should go buy it. But anyway,
it's gonna be like a $20 game, and XS just bought it because Acclaim went bankrupt or something.
Right.
They haven't even paid you all everything they owe you.
They owe me Acclaim. Yeah, I'm waiting for my $3,500 in wages that I haven't been paid.
Wasn't expecting you to throw the number out there. But nice.
Oh yeah, that's how I roll.
So I guess they owe you back pay. So you're not getting any money when people go out and buy Red Star, but you should buy it anyway and then look for his name in the credits.
Hopefully if they've kept that.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's the thing. You know, at least up until the game came out, right? I mean, the Red Star was leaked to a bunch of torrent and pirate sites.
Yeah.
You know, and
so people were enjoying it.
So, yeah, and you know what? I would rather have somebody, if it means a difference of, you know, having, you know, playing the game that I worked on and not playing the game that I worked on, you know, I would rather have them play it
and not
pay for it than not play it at all, seriously.
Yeah, well, because it meant something to you.
It meant a lot to me. Now, you know, it gets, obviously, the issue gets a little confused because, yeah, well, if everybody played the game and didn't pay for it, then the company would go probably out of business.
Kind of like they did.
And yes, but that was for other reasons. And then, you know, I would probably lose my job. So in an indirect way, you know, the virulence of piracy is kind of connected to, you know, me having a job. Because if, I shouldn't say virulence, just like the prevalence, right?
Yeah.
But it's a very indirect relationship. And I think this is maybe what you're trying to get at here. Because, you know, everybody knows that, you know, every person who pirates a game is not going to necessarily have paid for it anyway.
Yeah. But on the same token, they also probably spend a lot of money in that industry anyway.
Probably they do. You know, the thing that kind of, you know, I don't advocate piracy and I don't like piracy, but if it comes down to, like, my game didn't come out and I want people to play it, you know, I'm glad that there's pirates because some people will get to see the game.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll get to realize, wait a minute, a game like this deserves some shelf space. And I'm sure what happened was people played it and word got around and they said, hey, XS, this game's probably going to cost you about $5. Why don't you buy it from Acclaim and then release it?
I don't know all the details about how that went down, and you could make some arguments against, you know, well, if the game's widely available on pirate sites, then, you know, you could say that's less of an incentive.
The vast majority of people with a PlayStation 2 do not pirate. So.
Right. Well, there you go.
I'm not worried about that. Anyway, we've only got a couple minutes more for this segment. What I wanted to get at was what's been done about piracy in the past, and I sort of touched on this. Basically, a bunch of crappy methods of copy protection have been put into place that have been fairly unchecked. People end up pirating anyway. Like, PlayStation people figured out how to modify it with a mod chip, and then piracy was everywhere, at least for the people who had
access to stuff. I'm pretty impressed about how these closed systems of hardware, these game consoles, have been so thoroughly hacked by and large.
That's because there are some wacky geniuses in Eastern Europe with soldering irons and wattage guns and whatever, and they figured out. And actually, what's great, and why I said it was timely, is that the Wii was just hacked to play pirated Wii games and GameCube games, and it used the very same microchip that costs like 5 cents a piece that the original PlayStation was used to hack the PlayStation. Anyway, we're going to talk more about this subject as soon as we come back from break. Stay tuned, everyone.
Welcome back, guys. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
I'm that funny I make you laugh.
My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And we're talking about video game piracy.
Talking about video game piracy and some of the things that have been done to stop it and what's actually being done these days, which is successfully improving or attacking the issue. Now, before we do that, though, a couple of things. First of all, once again, want to remind everybody that UAT, place I went to school, where I learned how to make games and then went on to the radio and didn't actually make them. Ara, of course, makes games for a living, and the first game that he made is coming out very soon. We were just discussing that. This was not planned at all, by the way, to talk about it. But we just went to GameStop, and we see that it's supposed to release on that very special day, February 14th.
Yes, that's right, Valentine's Day.
When, as a geeky gamer like myself, you will be lonely and not on a date. You could be playing The Red Star. And so there's some preview buzz. If you go to GameStop.com, you can read what people have to say about it. Now, usually, I think that these are all just BS that people write up about it to get a game listed up there. But in this case, I don't think anybody knows about this game. So I'm going to read these to you since, well, we can do that. It's Ara's game, and he's earned it. So we're going to read the reviews. Here we go. There's three of them. Street Ninja, just last week, says, wow, the release date for this game just keeps getting pushed back. I played the demo over and over again when I had an Xbox, and must say that from the little I played, this is a quality title. Fans of Ikaruga, Metal Slug, Gradius, and R-Type will love this game. That, to me, speaks well of the game. And it's what you've told me before, very reminiscent of shooters and things like that.
Well, you know, me specifically, actually, were big fans of those types of games, and this was
Ara
kind of
a
like,
shooter nut.
This was this game was almost like an homage of sorts to the genre. So,
all right, moving on. Firefly, just a few days before that, says this game is lots of fun. I got to play the PS2 demo when that was floating around, but I have concerns with respect to Jack of All Games, who I guess is the publisher, and XS Games. I don't know how they're related, but anyway, those two companies. I understand it. As I understand it, they inherited the game in a practically complete form. What on Terra, or Earth, could possibly explain the fact that the release date being pushed back over and over. Apparently this person doesn't have proper grammar, but I understand his point. One would expect they would have the common courtesy to explain what the problem is. Thing is, they seem to lack that. Well, in actuality, I guess they kind of belong to Take-Two, and Take-Two is busy defending themselves against class action lawsuits, so that probably has something to do with why they're not talking about this game.
Well, you know, there's always logistical issues about a game's release, so, you know.
Now, here's another one, says, previewed by Understar. Now, that might be someone who's worked on the game, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that nobody who's made these comments has worked on the game.
Really? All right, well, I'll take your word for it.
Almost guarantee you.
This one says, the demo of this game proved that this is one of those that will only be a hit with the underground, like Beyond Good and Evil, Eco, etc. Gameplay is old school and fun. The storyline is unique, and the characters and the stages and carnage in the game made me go nuts, praying to God that the full version is released and my prayers have been answered. So, three good things, and not a lot of, you know, little childish bantering in the comments section here on GameSpot. So seriously, it's gonna be like $20, $19.99. Give it a shot.
It's a no-brainer. Just go buy it. Yeah. You know,
disregard that money goes to Take-Two and that it's got silly publisher logos on it, and that RM won't get the money. But if you play it and you like it or don't like it, email us.
Just buy it anyway. Just if you want real games to be released, not this fluffy stuff that they're pushing down your throats.
You know what's funny? I bet we won't even be able to get free copies to give away on the show. What's irony like?
Oh, that's very likely a chance that we won't be able to get free copies.
All right. So I've got like 5 minutes to talk about what I wanted to talk about, which is not nearly enough time.
All right, let's try it.
But I think we might run this topic a little bit next week. I want to talk about what has been done to successfully sort of get away from piracy. I don't even think it was intentional. But like I said, I got a new Xbox 360 recently, and I've been playing my Roommates even before that. And I've been discovering... And we all knew how valuable Xbox Live was, just how much like a step ahead of Sony's online whatever it is and Nintendo's online outing. Like, Microsoft had a whole generation behind them to screw it up and to fix it, and they've done amazing things. And what actually spurred on this whole topic for me was EA, not Xbox Live related at all, but I guess in Eastern Asia, where piracy is more common than non-piracy, EA released FIFA Online, very popular over there, right? Totally free. Game didn't cost a penny. They just said, here you go, take it.
Wow.
And then through microtransactions, they made money because they said, well, if you want to take your character and extend his season to be, you know, further on, or you want to do all these various things with the game, well, then pay like 90 cents or a dollar or something for this little microtransaction. And that was enough, you know, the people could swallow that. They say, okay, great, you've given me this game.
No pirating of any of these microtransaction items?
Well, because it's online and it's constantly accessing the server,
right.
I have a feeling that they can control that.
Yeah, I mean, depending on how you do it, I suppose it could be, you know, a way more secure way of making sure that people who have the information.
Yeah, because you have to grab info from the server all the time. And probably since it's online, right, you're playing against other people. And since you're playing against other people, that forces server. Now, someone could super hack it and pretend to be the server and all that, but then you're not going to find your friends because all your friends have to share this hack and run a host. And anyway, it's a lot more complicated than just getting a CD and playing your single-player game, because the game is inherently multiplayer. It forces you to go outside of your own machine, which makes it a lot easier to control the piracy. And so that was one great step. And as much as I hate the idea of microtransactions, this is a great way to get around the problem that they faced. They figured, well, people are going to get it anyway for free. Let's try this. So essentially, they've made a product and managed to make money out of it, where before it would have been like squeezing blood out of a stone, as they say.
So do you think more games are going to go in this direction?
Definitely, and they're already showing signs of that in the U.S., right? Everywhere.
Well, there was that rumor a while back about like, oh, well, Gran Turismo will come out and it'll be free, but you have to pay for all your cars or something.
Yeah, and I'm sure that stuff's going to go that way, and it already is. I mean, look at Lumines. You've got to buy Lumines in 20 different pieces now. And
two.
No, there's like five now.
Really?
Going to Xbox Live. They've got a special sale right now, by the way, for the next 2 weeks, everybody. If you want cheap Lumines stuff, it's on there for less than it's going to be in a few weeks. Yeah, because there's all the expansion packs and things like that.
That's crazy.
So what I realized as I've been playing Xbox Live lately, and I saw, okay, my roommate, he wants to play this game, but he likes to play with his brother. His brother lives in Texas. So he got Lost Planet. He decided, okay, I'm going to get a copy of Lost Planet for my brother. So he did that. And I think he might have even bought his brother the Xbox 360 to begin with, too. So then he wants us all to play on Xbox Live. He already has the game. He already has Gears of War, which he plays like nightly with his brother across state lines, right? And all their friends.
Yeah.
His brother bought a 360 and a copy of the game for their friend. So now their friend Joe has a system with the game and an Xbox Live subscription, mind you. The best service. The one that enhances or provides the ability or the inspiration for people to go buy more games, they've actually got us to pay for it. It's amazing. So John gets an Xbox 360, buys one for his brother and buys a copy of the game. His brother buys an Xbox 360 and a copy of the game for their friend. John decides, oh, we need two in the house. He buys a 360 and a copy of the game for me. So it's gone from like one guy who likes to play games to now four people, and it's even beyond that. And so because of just Xbox Live, getting people to play together from far away, they've taken this service, which is so centralized, and it has to be, in order to be effective like it is, it's got to be centralized in such a way where they can completely control, okay, I have a friends list, and I love it. I've gotten so into it. Like, okay, great, messaging. And I saw, oh, wait a minute, here's someone with the gamer tag of this person is actually the company that I work for, right? I found this the other night. I was looking through the leaderboards, and I saw the gamer tag had my company's name in it, which is not a common name.
Right.
And so I thought, wow, I'll message this person. You know, do you work there? Okay. And yes, I do. I'm in this department. I'm like, oh, well, I'm in this department, right? And it's like, oh, well, cool, right? And so that sort of thing, like, that can't happen anywhere else. I can't go play all these various online games and then look and say, oh, well, wait a minute. I was playing Geometry Wars, and my friend has, you know, 400,000 on Geometry Wars, and I only have 300. I'm going to keep playing until I beat their score. Normally, it's people come over, and you have your own leaderboard on your memory card or something. But this is every game. Every game I play, I can see who's doing better than me, and I compare all my friends, and I just want to do better. That stupid gamer score. I want a higher gamer score, and it's unbelievable because there's no rational reason for me to want a better gamer score.
Yeah, you know what? I like all that other stuff you just mentioned, but that gamer score, ugh.
No, I don't get it. It's completely irrational. It's stupid.
I don't see how people, how it motivates them, because like the score is so lame. I mean, like individual accomplishments, I can see that, but
there's no reason that it's actually. But I still pop in new games and play them a little bit just to get a little bit of gamer score.
You just want to whore out those gamer score points,
just to get a little gamer score. And so they've produced this service which is so ubiquitous across the system and all the different games and has all these requirements. Each game has to have a leaderboard. Each game has to have achievement points. Each game has to have functionality. Just for pressing the menu button to go to your friends list, it's got to know to pause the game, you know. Or if it's online, it doesn't pause the game by virtue of the fact that it's on online experience with other people and interacting with the two. So they've created this wonderful service that we want so much that it causes us to then buy games for other people. Not only am I not pirating my own copy, I'm buying extra friggin' copies for other people. It's amazing. And there's so much more to talk about.
That's good news for Microsoft.
Yeah. Again, jammed ourselves with 2 minutes to talk about this. So we'll cover this more next week with a bunch of more stuff. Please, everybody, come back. Keep sending us your great emails letting us know how much you love the show. We appreciate it. ChatterboxGameshow.com is the website. I'm Alon. This is Ara.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.